North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson here as usual with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And we're joined this morning by Lauren Reichenbach, the county and crime reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Lauren. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. And it is it's Friday, March 29th, Good Friday, and I guess you don't say happy Good Friday, but to those who observe, it is Good Friday, and hope you have a pleasant day. Let's talk about the news a little bit, because that's why we're here. In state politics, I'll just give the rundown before we dive into these stories more deeply. The Idaho 4th District Court awarded the State Board of Education $2,042,000 in change in costs and attorney fees for having to defend itself against the Attorney General's office, which filed a lawsuit against the State Board of Education.
Yeah. Well, I threw that one out as something we should at least mention, because it seems remarkable that taxpayers are paying for the state to sue itself.
Yes. Yeah. Two branches of the state government engaged in lawsuit against each other. Court fees awarded, interesting that it just comes out of the Attorney General's budget and moves over to the other, the State Board of Education budget or something.
Sounds like the county.
Shades of that. It also in state news that in the House, the State Affairs Committee considered Joint Resolution 104, which would limit the special session of the legislature to 20 days. In the Constitution, the governor can call a special session of the legislature, which is then limited to 20 days. However, in 2022, there was an amendment to the Idaho Constitution allowing the Idaho legislature to call itself back into session. And on that amendment, the 20-day limit was not stipulated. So this would be adding that same 20-day limit to the special session if the legislature calls itself rather than is called by the governor. Some controversy there. The idea being, I guess, to not allow the legislature just to be in session all year long if it were ever to get to that point, which who knows if it could. Representative Jaron Crane of Nampa introduced an immigration bill late in the... We're now winding down the legislative session in Boise. It is a... Sections of it are a word-for-word copy of Texas's Senate Bill 4, which basically allows for... It makes it a state crime for a person who is not U.S. citizen or U.S. national to enter the state directly from a foreign country at any location other than a lawful port of entry, which in Idaho is that stretch of the, as far as I understand, would just be that stretch of the border in Canada that little narrow piece of land would be where you could enter unless, I suppose, you flew in. Maybe. I'm not sure how that works, but that's something that is being considered right now in the House. And we moving here to the city, the Selkirk Fire Joint Powers Agreement, dissolving that was considered by the city of Sandpoint, but that has been tabled until June 2025. So some 15 months from now, The big news in the city is that Council President Jason Welker announced that he is stepping down from elected office, not just as president, but stepping down as councilor to take a new position with the city of Sandpoint. He will be the Community Planning and Development Director. His job functions will include oversight of current and long-range planning, building and building officials, parks and recreation, all commissions and staff running those commissions. And additionally, the city has hired a new Parks and Rec supervisor and a permit technician coordinator to assist with planning and development. Unmentioned in the article that I read about Welker's stepping down was the position of city administrator, which I'm not sure if this is meant to completely or partially fill that role. That conversation has not been happening, at least officially, for the last couple of city council sessions, it seems like. Jeremy Grimm will be appointing a new councilor to fill Welker's seat for the remainder of his term. And that will happen by the Wednesday, April 17th meeting, if I understand that correctly. The meeting for April 4th has been canceled. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
The reporting there, I did not see if the council has a new council president, because that's one of the positions that Jason
held. Right.
So I don't, Lauren, did you hear about that?
I have not heard anything yet.
I'm sure one of the current council members will step into that role. But I don't know which council member that will be that will become council president.
Yeah, you would guess we'd hear about that on April 17th as well. Mm-hmm. Also on April 17th in county news or in county business, there's a new, the Reader had a big splash story about the proposed Panhandle Bike Ranch in Sagal. This would be something in the more than 100 acres and less than 200 acres. I think about 150, 170 acres of land that they are proposing to turn into a mountain bike park. There will be a conditional use permit hearing on April 17th at the county building, I believe. And at the meeting this week, relatively quiet at first, there was a contract. This is the Bonner County Board of Commissioners meeting. A contract between Bonner County and the Mountain View Company was approved by County Commissioners Tuesday to cover work cleaning up wildfire hazards throughout the county. These will be hazards on private property, basically working on mitigating private property damage during wildfire season, things like clearing brush away from structures and sprinklers and things of that nature, and will not come with a price tag for the county. It will be paid entirely through a federal grant. New road and bridge equipment was approved, trucks and a street sweeper. I believe it was called the 2024 Superior Broom was the brand name, which I like that name for a sweet street sweeper. That'll keep us tidy here in Bonner County. Most notable was the presence of State Representative candidate Spencer Hutchings, who entered the meeting, originally was attending on Zoom and walked into the meeting in person and came to the front of the room to demand to be heard in his public comment. A recess was called until Hutchings returned to his seat, and then his public comment was heard after that. And I think this is a good time to ask about what happened there. Lauren, can you kind of set the stage for that? I was surprised that he was not present initially. He was attending on Zoom and came down in person to the meeting.
Yes, that is correct. So according to Spencer Hutchings, he decided to watch the meeting remotely because of the hostility that has been happening at the meetings lately. So he's been Zooming in for the past few months, hasn't been there in person. And he believes that the county is harvesting residents' data when they sign up online to give public comment, because Commissioner Luke Ammett instated a process where you have to sign up before the meeting to give a comment either in person or online. And a lot of residents are complaining that they have to have a Google account to sign up to give a comment over Zoom. And one of the big people against that is Spencer Hutchings. And so he has been Zooming in, but he hasn't been signing up to give comment. And so he'll have the virtual hand raise option up. And typically Luke Ammett will go through everyone who has signed up in person and let them comment first, and then go through everyone who has signed up officially on Zoom and give their comments. And then if there's any time left over, he'll let anyone in person or online speak who hasn't officially signed up.
Uh-huh.
And they were only about three people into the commenters who had signed up in person. And Ammett was giving a response to one of those residents. And Spencer Hutchings came in and came right to the front and decided that he really wanted to sign up in person at that time. And mm-hmm. that was not going to fly for the commissioners who were present.
Okay. So a recess was called. Was the nature of his comment on that process? I mean, he was talking about was he mainly complaining about the comment process, or what was he?
Not particularly. There were videos taken of Luke and Spencer's conversation during the recess, and that was a big thing that he brought up to Luke during the recess was, you guys are harvesting data. I'm not going to give you my data. You need to do something different about that, because I'm not going to do it. Other residents aren't going to do it because we don't like it. And then they got into an argument about Luke's teaching history and a bunch of other stuff. And then finally, he returned to his seat and the meeting proceeded. And then he was allowed to give comments. So it wasn't even that the commissioners were trying to not allow him to speak. But when he got up to speak, a lot of it was regarding the Fair Board audit that I believe is still in progress. And former fair manager Darcy Smith's laptop, which I think has been a big item of contention for some residents. I think a lot of them are wondering where it is, what was on it, because that information hasn't been released to the public yet.
Darcy Smith, who was the Fair Board director until her death in 2022, I believe.
Yes.
So Spencer Hutchings has been present at other meetings in the past. There's an element of personal conflict here as well between, is that safe to say?
I think it's very safe to say that for sure.
Yeah. It sounds like the meeting turned sort of exciting there during the public conversation.
Yes, and it didn't end when the meeting ended. It definitely continued on after the meeting was adjourned.
So he stayed around and the conversation continued.
Yes, okay. It did. And it got a little heated between Commissioner Steve Bradshaw and Spencer Hutchings, but thankfully no fists were thrown and it ended rather calmly after a while.
Is there an officer on site during these contentious meetings?
There has been. I don't know if there was one at this meeting. I'm sure there was. I just didn't see him. But they had the sergeant at arms, and he was busy in the middle of it trying to calm everyone down. It didn't work right away, but eventually it happened.
Was it a pretty well attended meeting?
I would say
they usually are. Yeah. The meeting was disrupted, but then continued as normal after it resumed. Nothing.
Yes. And the audience was pretty frustrated, too, because it's been very back and forth, the public comment segments of these meetings. Sometimes the public's allowed to give comments. Sometimes they're not. It really depends on the audience's atmosphere and how they're behaving. And a lot of them are trying really hard to keep it instated. And so a lot of residents were frustrated with the disruption because they're trying really hard to keep their voices heard in these meetings. And disruption is only going to cause them to be not able to be heard.
Yeah.
How long is the public comment period? How much time do they allow for that?
It's no longer timed. They moved it to the end of the meeting rather than the beginning of the meeting a couple months ago. So when it was at the beginning of the meeting, they had an hour long period. And now it's just kind of however much time is left between the last agenda item and the executive sessions that usually begin at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Spencer Hutchings is running for House Seat 1A, facing Cornell Razor and the incumbent Mark Sauter in that race.
I think Cornell Razor is actually going for Seat B.
I got that wrong last week, too. I got to edit my document.
Yeah, it's Mark Sauter and Jane Sauter are the two that he faces in the primary. And then Karen Mathey is a Democrat. She's running unopposed in the primary, but whoever wins that Republican primary will face Karen in the general election in November.
Mm-hmm. It's all political, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's not, I was going to ask, do you see this is he trying to raise his profile as part of his political campaign here or just his...
I wouldn't say so. Yeah. I think that the issue runs so far back with the tension between Commissioners Ahmet and Bradshaw and Hutchings that it doesn't have anything to do with politics at this point. At the basis of it, it's just people that don't like each other.
Yeah. Well, it is a small, tight-knit community. In many ways.
Did they accomplish other work this week?
Yes, they did. They got a lot done. So the Road and Bridge Department, as Jack was saying, is getting new equipment, which is awesome because a lot of it is older than I am. My joints groan and creak, so I can only imagine what the dump trucks are doing. So they got approved for four new dump trucks.
You're far too young to be
playing that part. I wish. But they got four new dump trucks, and they got the Superior Broom, which I also love the name of it. It sounds very official. And they also got approved for a new lift, so when the trucks inevitably do have problems, they will be able to work on them a lot easier.
For the county shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, so work is getting done. All the conflict tends to grab the headlines, but at least the county's taking care of some business. Huh?
Yeah, and the bonfire program got a new grant from the government, so they're going to be working to clean up some private property. And not only does that help mitigate the risk of any of those structures burning down, but it also helps mitigate the risk of surrounding areas catching easier. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and so that program is to remove flammable brush and trees and provide some protected space around buildings and also fire breaks. It's quite a program. Private landowners can get in on it too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The bonfire program, worth checking out if you've got some rural land.
That's right. I think in Lauren's article, it just says you have to agree to maintain it for 10 years, and otherwise the cost to you can be minimal or none at all.
Mm-hmm.
The other county news we didn't mention, there was a lawsuit that it looks like is coming to a conclusion. Rick Kramer sued the county over a records request.
Yes.
But that has now been dismissed and the county's just paying his legal fees, or the filing fee.
Yes. So it's a big misunderstanding is how Luke Ahmet talked to me about it. So Rick Kramer and his son Brandon Kramer filed almost the exact same records request within a day or two of each other. And since they share the same last name, county staff responded to his son, just saw Kramer as the last name and was like, oh, we already responded to this one, marked it done. Thought that it was all good to go, and one of the two never got their records, so that caused some issues. But after the lawsuit was filed, the county worked it out with Rick Kramer's counsel that if they pay the filing fees, that he will drop the lawsuit. So he has his records requests filled now. So
okay. And that was around an insurance issue, was the records request there, right?
Yes, the county's insurance policies.
Huh. Any particular reason that he was that you're aware of that he's looking into the county insurance policies?
Yeah, it's been also a bit of a contentious point because the county a few weeks ago decided to switch insurance policies because it was going to save, I think, around $200,000 a year, I believe is the rough estimate. And a lot of people were unhappy with it. A lot of people were saying that some of the commissioners were working on the side with the insurance company and they were buddy-buddy. And so it was like just kind of a shady deal, which ended up not being the case. But so it's been a little contentious there as well.
So it's been a couple of weeks now since kind of one of the surprises with the deadline to file for election was that current Commissioner Stephen Bradshaw is not going to run for re-election as commissioner, but rather as sheriff.
Yes.
Going to be facing Sheriff Darrell Wheeler in the Republican primary. Has that changed the climate in the room at all?
Surprisingly, no. Yeah. But it definitely threw everyone for a loop. I heard, and this is not confirmed, but I heard that he didn't even tell his family he was filing before he did it. So I think everyone was caught very off guard when he did that. But so far, it hasn't really changed the atmosphere very much.
Hmm. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, as an observer, never in the room as you are, but Luke Ahmet and Stephen Bradshaw tend to be together on the commission. So that Commissioner Bradshaw stepping down from that position means we're going to have a new commissioner for District 1. And the three Republican candidates there, James Burrows, Brian Domke, and Brian Riley, have they been attending the meetings?
I know Brian Riley or Brian Domke has. I'm not sure if the other two have. I'm not as familiar with their faces, so it's harder to point them out. But I know that Brian Domke has been regularly attending for the past probably year that I've been here. I've seen him every so often at the meetings. He was there on Tuesday for sure.
We're talking, by the way, with Lauren Reichenbach. She's the county and crime reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. And this is North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. Is there any news on the election front? Stephen Bradshaw facing off against Darrell Wheeler. Have they interacted in any way since the announcement was made that they're opponents, as far as you know, I guess?
Yeah, not that I know of. I haven't. I don't think Sheriff Wheeler has attended any of the meetings since then. So
yeah,
I'm sure they have shared a few words since then, but not in front of me.
You could characterize their relationship as pretty contentious, yeah. I think. I don't think either of them
would oppose
that characterization. It will be interesting to see how that shapes up. There's a candidates forum on April 30th, which this radio station sponsors along with Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader. That will be at the high school on the 30th, and you're welcome to attend or listen right here over these airwaves.
We will be broadcasting that.
That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. You can tune in, but both Bradshaw and Wheeler have been invited at least.
Mm-hmm. All the candidates that are in contested races have been invited.
Yeah.
Because their primaries are different than general elections, there's a lot of candidates. So trying to get every candidate up on the stage when they're in an uncontested race means we wouldn't have as much time for the contested races to be covered. So, due to not wanting to have either an excessively long form or have to have two forms and make people come back to two different forms, which is inconvenient for some voters, we decided to set it just for contested races. So, we will have, and every candidate is invited, of course. They've received it either via email, or there's one we haven't been able to get hold of, and maybe Lauren, I'll hit you up later and see if there's a contact
Sounds
for that
good.
One. Is the Bee going to do a forum? I know you
yes.
have in the past.
Yes, okay. it's, it's in the works. We don't really have a lot of the details ironed out yet, but hopefully around the beginning of May, so probably right after yours, we'll have one set up.
And that's... it's really great that the Bee, that more than just one group is doing forums, because some people can't attend on a given night. Mm-hmm. So it gives an opportunity for, and of course, the forums run a little differently. Different sorts of questions come up before the candidates. So
yeah, and it's nice to go to different ones as it kind of progresses, because a lot of, like you said, the questions change, but also the atmosphere changes and people might have differing opinions as things go on, you know, stuff happens at the commissioners' meetings and everything. So it's nice to kind of have check-ins sort of along the way.
Yeah, yeah. The campaigns develop. Different questions arise. Opportunity to answer the questions more fully. Follow-up questions, all that sort of thing during the course of a campaign. So it's great. Yeah, let us know when that's happening, because we want to give it a lot of shouts out
well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a question kind of for both of you, but what is a primary campaign like this, where really only one party has any contested races in it? What are the, other than the forums, which we just mentioned, what are the candidates up to right now? I mean, what is their campaign season look like? Are they going to events, private events, public events?
Oh, yeah. They're not all the candidates, but the candidates that are really working it are going to as many public events as they can. Mm-hmm. Now, our incumbent legislators are still down in Boise, because that session hasn't ended yet. So they try to get the session done earlier in the year, and they were supposed to end it, I think, last week. The original projection was, and Mark Sauter, you know, our representative wrote in his column this week that, I don't know, there's not a clear date yet when they're going to end the current legislative session. But candidates are out going to public meetings. There's a lot of stuff starting to happen on social media. Most of them have websites or Facebook pages. There's emails. They all are mounting email campaigns, you know.
There's yard signs. I've seen a lot of those lately.
Yard signs are starting to come up. So, yeah, the ones that are really working to get into office are out there already.
Yeah, I think a big thing is just trying to get their names out right now. I know a lot of the commissioner candidates have not necessarily played the long game, but they've kind of geared up for it in that they started attending regularly the meetings months and months ago to say, oh, I have been here, I have been active, I have been making public comments, like I am engaged in the community. So I think now they're kind of taking that to the next level and just trying to get their name and their face out there.
Yeah.
And Jack, to mention, there is one seat that's up for election that does have a contested race on the Democratic side, and that is Idaho Representative Seat B. It's a seat held by Sage Dixon. The candidates on the Democrat side there are Catherine Larson and Bob Vicarious.
Right.
So every other race that's contested right now is only Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Are Larson and Vicarious invited to the forum as well?
Of course. Yeah, it's a contested race.
Of course. But the, Vicarious sort of he's run before and not a traditional Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Not traditional. He's a really conservative fellow. And we've interviewed him in past years when he's run as a Democrat. And we'll probably get him, we're trying to interview all the candidates for our morning shows as well. So, haven't really developed that schedule just yet, but those got to kick off pretty soon.
I know. Yeah. You got a lot of, races and not that many weeks left before May 21st. There was one article that I just want to mention from the Reader. It's not exactly immediate news because it doesn't take effect until 2033, but Panhandle Special Needs' lease will not be renewed. That is out on Boyer Avenue. And then there's a nice little graphic detailing what the city of Sandpoint has in mind for the property that exists there right now. Big changes 10 years down the line if that
goes through. For Pisney, but Pisney and the Beak story covered this, is planning to, in fact, they've already secured the property right across the street, and the plan is to build a new facility there, which their facility right now is really quite aged. Anyways, it would be a tremendous asset to the community if Pisney can pull that off, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more about fundraising to make that happen. It is a ways down the road, as you mentioned, that at least
the deadline is.
The deadline, I'm sure they'd like to get the new facility accomplished earlier. And I don't know, have you covered that at all, Lauren?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. We are, we're past our deadline as usual. It is 8:32 and we're going to go back to, music. Lauren, anything coming up in the B that we should know about? Any previews for the news of, I don't know, next week? Anything coming up you're working on?
Nothing crazy in the B. I'm sure that'll change in the next day or two, but there is one state story that I think would be worth mentioning. Yesterday, I believe, Brad Little signed a bill that will no longer allow government-funded medical programs to offer gender-reaffirming surgeries. So you can no longer use like Medicaid and stuff for that. And I think that takes effect in July.
That's right. Good good note. I saw that as well. Well, it is 8:32, as I mentioned.
We have Easter coming up.
It is, yeah, that's right.
A lot of churches have special services. One I wanted to mention, because I've never seen it happen here before, but Schweitzer Chapel is going to have an Easter sunrise service at the top of Schweitzer Peak.
Really?
And if you would like to celebrate for an Easter sunrise service, you got to get up to the chairlift there, the Great Escape chairlift in the village, by 6:45 a.m.
Okay.
It is a sunrise thing, so you got to get up early. And then they'll start loading people back down at 7:30 p.m. A.m., excuse me.
Long service.
Well, you know, it takes a few minutes to get up there, and dress warmly, I would suggest. However, I think that the weather forecast is for sun.
I think it's supposed to be 60 on Sunday. Yeah. Probably not up there. But
well, it won't be at that time of the day, but it is shaping up. It could be a really glorious sunrise. So
Yes, it could be. There's an Easter egg. Well, I think there's more than one Easter egg hunt going on, but the one...
Well, the big one.
The big one at Great Northern Park. Is the one that I'm thinking of.
Put on by the Lions Club.
The Lions Club is on Saturday.
On Saturday, yes. Yep.
And then there's another one on Easter itself. Okay. Yep.
On Easter.
So at Lakeview Park on Saturday, which is at 9 a.m. I better get that absolutely correct. You don't want to be late.
You do not want to.
It is 9 a.m. Okay. 9 a.m. sharp. Do not show up at 9:05 and expect your kids are going to be able to find many eggs.
It's an egg race more than a hunt. But
that's on Saturday. Yeah. So tomorrow, and then on Sunday at 11:30, there's another egg hunt and kind of a petting zoo and some other amenities at Great Northern Park, again, 11:30, so don't be late to that
one. And that's in Ponderé, right?
Where's that? Traverse, Centennial, Complex. Okay. Great Northern's the furthest one down, they have it. The Parkside Church egg hunt.
Parkside. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Right. That's right by their church. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Other events going on? There are some, but we are over time. I'm going to let Autos play for a little while and come back with a little current events calendar in just a few minutes after we let a couple songs go by. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Thank you very much, Lauren, for being here.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And we will be back next week. I will be. Chris will be gone.
I'll be gone. Yeah. Okay. Carry on, Jack.
We'll do okay. All right. stay tuned for Autos Eclectic Mix all day long, starting right now.